Our scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I invite you to listen for words that speak to you in particular, words that you feel speak to us as a congregation. Let us listen for the word of God. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war within the law of my mind, with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh I am a slave to the law of sin. And I'll just remind you all to know that when he's talking about flesh, he's talking about the earthly substance of who we are, rather than the heavenly image of God, which we are created to be. So flesh, the body, is there's nothing, he's not talking about our bodies. So did you hear a word that spoke to you this morning, or a phrase? We don't talk much about sin on a regular basis. Who will rescue me from this body of death? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Edward Marquardt tells a parable about Billy, who as a young boy sat and watched his sister creating an impressive tower out of blocks. He knew he shouldn't do it. It would only cause trouble, a disaster in the family. And yet he reached out and grabbed that little red block from the bottom of the tower. Billy, as a teenager, found parking and making out with Cherry a wonderful thing. He knew that, as a Christian, what was right. And he wanted to do what was right. But there was something inside him that pulled him past the proper boundaries. Years later, Bill married Cherry. After 15 years together, the love had begun to wane between them. He wanted to love her the way he had years ago. He wanted to do right by Cherry, but the good he wanted to do, he could not do because of something inside that got in the way. Time went on. Bill struggled with his self-esteem around doctors, dentists, lawyers, around people who were rich, mechanical, or talented. Bill would find these feelings of inferiority blooming and blossoming again and again. You know, I can relate to Bill. Bill is really me, or you. Bill is the Apostle Paul who said, "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing." I suspect that some of us have asked the question, why, when I believe in Jesus, read my Bible, study, pray, try to do what's right, do I still find myself sinning, doing what I don't even want to do? Why do we sin? Why do we fail again and again to do what is right, to live as we should? Why didn't baptism solve this problem? Why doesn't weekly communion? Why doesn't God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit just take over and make me good? Well, first of all, you are good, and you are loved, accepted, and forgiven. God created you as good in His image. Second of all, if God made you act good, then acting good would not mean anything because you weren't free to struggle and choose to act good out of your love for God or your neighbor. Third, you are not alone. There's no one here that has not struggled in this same way. Look in your Bible, throughout the Bible. Noah got himself into trouble with drinking. Abraham lied about Sarah being his wife. Moses killed a man in anger and constantly struggled with feelings of inferiority. Elisha, the prophet, cursed 42 young boys for teasing him about his bald head, and two she-bears mauled them all to death. So why do we think we can live a sin-free life? Only Jesus accomplished that. This is the universal struggle for humanity since the beginning, since Adam and Eve and Cain. In fact, when Paul writes this letter to the church in Rome, he goes back to the story of Adam and Eve. He tells the story of humanity, the story of the Jewish people, the story of people who struggled to do what is right, who failed often and kept on struggling. Paul explains that the law that says don't to Bill and me and you was given by God to help us to not do the things that destroy relationships. But the only reason the law of the Old Testament lasted as long as it did was because God kept stepping in and forgiving the people who broke the law again and again. God kept giving them second chances, third chances, infinite chances, it seems. But the people just couldn't get it. They kept breaking their relationship with God by turning away from God and turning toward all those things they knew they shouldn't do but couldn't help themselves. The Jewish law was a good thing given by God, but something kept getting in the way. Sin. They were enslaved by sin. We don't have many of those hellfire and brimstone sermons around here, telling you how sinful you are and trying to put the fear of God into you. Some of us might prefer that. But fear doesn't really work to create good behavior. Or we'd all be eating more healthy foods and exercise more. But I don't think it helps to talk or act as if everything is all right the way it is. It isn't. The sin is deep, even right here at First Christian Church. You know it is. You don't want to talk about it. I don't really either. But we do need to confess. Yes, Lord, we are all sinners. We have turned away from your path way too often. We have failed to follow Jesus at home, at work, on the streets, even at church. We have let you down repeatedly. We should confess this together from our sermon notes. I think it got it up here on the screen. There we go. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, doesn't it feel better to admit that we are all sinners? We just sin in different ways. We are all addicted to sin. We're all under the spell of sin, though we often call it coping mechanisms. We've all fallen and we can't get up by ourselves. And that's why we're here. The church is a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. You've heard that before, haven't you? We're not here because we've earned the right, because we have lived and loved and served as we're supposed to. We're here because we know there is something better. We're here because we're loved, we're accepted and forgiven, and we've been invited to be here. We're welcome. We're here because God's Spirit has whispered that there is a better way. We're here to practice living free. Like sin does not have power over us. We're all here in recovery. How many have come to worship today in order to live a better life? I'll put my hand way up there. Seriously, though, in recovery, it's the fellow addicts who provide support, who create a community which practices together life free from addiction. Addicts need the community to demand accountability. They need the community to practice together life free from addiction. They need the community and their higher power for a safe place until they're ready to go back out into the world. They need the community for the rest of their lives because an addict is always an addict. We Christians simply practice living sin-free for the rest of our lives, just one day at a time. When Jesus began his ministry, he announced that the kingdom of God has drawn near. Yet it soon became apparent that the kingdom was not completed or completely revealed in our world. Just look how they treated Jesus. But the kingdom was complete in Jesus. Jesus lived in the world, but he lived a different way. He lived in relationship with God. He lived for others. He freely sacrificed and suffered and gave his own life for others. He died by the ways of the world, the ways of addiction to violence and fear, to greed and self-centeredness, still running this world and this country. And after 3 days, he found himself reborn into eternal life in God's kingdom. Jesus is the way. He showed us the way. He is the way and the truth and the life. He showed us the way to God through love, through sacrifice, through giving of himself for others. And then Jesus' followers have been practicing Jesus' way, practicing living in the kingdom ever since. That's what this season of the church and the Holy Spirit are all about, practicing living in the kingdom. Like Paul, we live in a world of the flesh, as he called it, not the body, flesh, but a world of greed, envy, mistrust, broken relationships, violence. We are addicted to the way of this world, even in the church. But we have met Jesus, our higher power, through the Bible, through this community, thank God, through the Holy Spirit, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, through mission, through prayer. In our minds, we have chosen Jesus' way. We have decided to give up the world's ways and live Jesus' way of relationship with God, of freedom, of love and sacrifice, and giving of ourselves to others. But we still have to practice living Jesus' way, and practice every day. The kingdom of God has come near. Jesus' way of living in relationship with God, living in the kingdom. That's why Paul proclaims, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." But those addictions of our world are very real and near. We gather in worship to remove ourselves for a little while, to surround ourselves with other sinners, other fellow addicts to the world, to support each other, to hold each other accountable in a safe way, to practice living sin-free. We're not completely free of our sin while we still live in this world, but we can count the days that we do live free from that sin. Or maybe it's just hours. Maybe just minutes. The length of time is not so important. What is important is right now. And then all those right nows along the way. As we worship right now, as we practice freely giving of ourselves, as we gather in community around the Lord's table, as we go out with God's blessing, as we practice living in God's kingdom, we practice living free from sin. We practice living in relationship with God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with the help of them. We practice living as God created us to live, joyful, hopeful, faithful, free, free from sin, free to love. Let's practice that freedom until it becomes reality. Freedom from sin, freedom to love, freedom to see the image of God in each one of us. Free right now. Take-home question that I'm interested in. Could we interest our neighbors in coming to a hospital for sinners? Let's pray together. We thank you, O God, that you love us so much. In our imperfections, in our blatant turning away from you at times, in our fears that guide us more than your love too often, you love us and accept us just the way we are, but you want better for us. So help us, O God, to open ourselves to you, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our time, our bodies, our practicing. Come in to our lives. Help us to be your presence for each other and for those around us, to be the body of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.